Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows, Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 30, the verses 1 through 24. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, article number 33. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah going unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan." And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah her maid and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God hath endued me with a good dowry, and now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterward she bare a daughter, and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, A God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, The Lord shall add to me another son. Thus far the scripture reading. The Confession of Faith, Article 32, The Order and Discipline of the Church. In the meantime, we believe, though it is useful and beneficial, that those who are rulers of the church institute and establish certain ordinances among themselves for maintaining the body of the church, yet they ought studiously to take care that they do not depart from those things which Christ, our only Master, hath instituted. And therefore we reject all human inventions and all laws which man would introduce into the worship of God, thereby to bind and compel the conscience in any matter whatever. Therefore we admit only of that which tends to nourish and preserve concord and unity, and to keep all men in obedience to God. For this purpose, excommunication or church discipline is requisite, with the several circumstances belonging to it, according to the word of God. We hope to remember Mrs. Overeem, who was admitted to the hospital on Tuesday evening. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and unchangeable God, of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in this evening hour that the doors of thy house have been opened, and that thou granteth opportunity insofar that it is possible, and insofar that there was desire, when we attempt to approach unto thee. May it please thee to grant unto us our rightful place, and that is a very low place, bowing before thy might and before thy majesty as a poor, unworthy, and sinful people. Ah, Lord, then we have to confess that in this evening hour we have nothing to plead of self. Thou wast granted many blessings in this day, and if thou wast not given it, that thanksgiving and that humility, then thou wast not received that thanksgiving which thou art so worthy to receive. Lord, our sins, they are great and manifold, where we do what thou hast forbidden, and we do not what thou hast commanded. By nature, then we are seekers of our own kingdom and of our own honor. Thou hast commanded us to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and added that promise that all other things as shall be added to it. But in the way of our unbelief and awe, Lord, by nature, then we have nothing but unbelief. But thou as a people, where it becomes a great sin, may that take place in this evening hour. Lord, wilt thou then work mightily and irresistibly by thy Spirit in these dark and solemn times, when we consider all the judgments, all the ways of temptation, then thy church should be more a praying, a reforming, and a repenting church. And, Lord, thou hast yet a remnant that shall always be. But thy church so much resembles thy Jonah of old, in the midst of a great storm and fast asleep. Oh Lord, what a sleeping there is on the pillow of passiveness, complacency, a duty, a form, world conformity. Then it is so necessary that we are awakened by the first time, but also by renewal. Ah, Lord, may it please thee in this serious time that thy church may be more a burning and a shining light. Are so many places where formerly thou had a church, a remnant, and where the candlestick has been removed. Leave and forsake us not, but may that candlestick, may it burn brighter and brighter. Lord, we humbly ask thee in this hour for thy special help, thy special favor, thy special presence, and thy special blessing. May it please thee to bless thy holy word for the conversion of our boys, of our girls, of our young people, of the middle-aged, and of the elderly ones. The time is short. 2 days ago, we have stood on the cemetery round an open grave to bury a dear husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and brother. For him it has become eternity. We may still be in the precious day of grace. Impress it upon our hearts, only one breath, one heartbeat, between us and eternity. And then we need to be reconciled with thee. We need to become a poor sinner that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be brought back to the Father heart of God. Lord, remember thy people. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Grant further leadings. Grant that close and tender life. Oh, grant those tears of contrition. May it also be those tears, as we read in thy holy word, when they may look upon him whom they have pierced. Then we commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. The established churches, persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, Bible translators, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Lord, then also as a denomination, we may have our mission field. Oh, bless the labors there. But, oh, do bless thy holy word in a richer measure amongst us and our children. Bless thy word in the church. Bless thy word in the family circles. And bless thy word in the Christian school. We commend unto thee all of our students in a special way. Those that have written exam today and are called upon in the coming week. Lord, thou knowest what anxiety it can give. Wilt thou help them to study and to be given to bow their knees, that thou may be their helper to make it easy and to be a surprising God. Oh, above all, press upon the young hearts of our students that there is one knowledge that is so indispensable. And it is written that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones in our midst? There are many that mourn the loss of loved ones. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Remember all the elderly ones. Remember Bethesda, the staff, and all their residents. Remember the sick and afflicted ones. Thou was granted that a young man has underwent knee surgery may return to his home in the midst of his loved ones. Wilt thou grant strengthening, wilt thou grant healing, and, O Lord, then by renewal in his life, then thou wert speaking, my son, give me thy heart. Lord, use the callings. Remember his family circle, our oldest member, a widow, was taken to the hospital with great concerns. We may acknowledge thee that thou wast given some improvement. Wilt thou further remember her? And, O Lord, in her old age, may she be given to fold her hands oftentimes and cry unto thee, that thou may be mindful of her concerning her body, in so far and as long as it pleases thee, but above all for her soul. And the day of yesterday, a father had foot surgery by renewal, made all things well. Wilt thou grant healing? And, O Lord, wilt thou work mightily by thy Spirit? Wilt thou remember the family circle? Remember all the handicapped ones, all those that have difficulties and burdens. Be mindful of the family circles. Oh, may our families, may our homes more and more, may they be given to resemble little sanctuaries. When that may be so, then thy church shall surely prosper. Remember our poor nation that sinks away more and more under the hardening of the heart. Remember all in high authority. Remember our premier with those that stand at his side. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding? Oh, may thy word yet be opened, and the knees be bowed, and a crying unto thee. then there would be hope and expectation. But, Lord, may we be given to turning unto ourself. May we become a guilty people, a repentant people, but, also a crying people, that thou may remember us with a favor, that thou bearest unto thy people, that thou may visit us and our children with thy salvation. Wilt thou bless all the labors of our hands? Wilt thou provide the daily bread for us and our children? And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for the opening of thy word and the leading of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou remember all the listeners, young and old, together? Wilt thou bind the devil fast? Grant a little rest in thy house. Thou knowest how many cares we can be encumbered with, daily cares and daily burdens. But, Lord, may they fall away in this evening hour, and given to experience that the greater Joseph, that he is still alive, that he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children a more dependent life, trusting in thee for all our needs. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 213, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. My people, give ear, attend to my word. In parables, new deep truth shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. And what follows, Psalter 213, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Genesis 37, the verses 1, 2, and 3. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Our text words speak of Joseph being 17 years old. Three thoughts. In the first place, Joseph's father. Secondly, Joseph's brothers. And thirdly, Joseph's goat. Joseph being 17 years old. Three simple points that our boys and girls can remember. When your parents ask you what the points were, then you can tell them Joseph's father, Joseph's brothers, and Joseph's goat. Thus first, Joseph's father. Beloved congregation, we had thought in this evening hour, with the Lord's help, to make a beginning with the history of Joseph. May the Lord open his word, grant the leading of his Holy Spirit, and make his word a blessing for young and old. I read in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. We read in Romans 15, verse 4, that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our instruction, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have comfort. When we consider the history of Joseph, then we may be given to behold many wonderful things. Then in the first place, then we are given to see in that history the wonderful providence of the Lord concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the seed of Jacob, that he may be spared, that he may be upheld, because out of that seed, we have heard some weeks ago in December, out of Genesis 29 of that Leah. That was given to praise her God, her Lord, with the birth of Judah. Oh, concerning the church, concerning the fulfillment of the Lord's counsel, then many a times it goes through deep and unfathomable ways, and it is a way wherein the Lord manifests himself in his divine attributes, because he is a wonder-doing God. When we consider the history of Joseph, for people, and we read of God's people, the furnace of affliction, 10 days of tribulation, not to make a misapplication, there are souls where the Lord works, and that there may be a time that the Lord deals, he deals lovingly with all his people. The one more drawn and the other more driven. But it can be that there is a time that their little ship, as it sails through this world, that the waters are calmed. And when it may be so, do not ask the Lord for trials and for afflictions. They shall come. That is the portion of the church of God. And now concerning the promised Messiah, concerning that golden thread, concerning the family of Jacob, the upholding of the church in the midst of many trials. Then concerning the history of Joseph, there are wonderful types declared. But then we must not be too quick that we depart immediately from the history, because also concerning the history of Joseph, then there is much practical instruction, teaching for fathers and mothers, for boys and girls. When we consider those brothers, what they have done to Joseph, then in the history of Joseph, then when the Lord grants it, then we shall see the mystery of providence. John Flavel has said in a certain place concerning the providence of the Lord, if the church may read it like the Hebrew was written backwards, under trying circumstances, then to be given to simply trust and follow the Lord. Then I hear a soul say, but my question is, under those mysterious providences, if I now had the assurance, I have a hope, because when the Lord works congregation, that happens not in a corner, but that happens in the heart. And he grants those living desires and those living longings. But for a church, when their way is in deep waters, when the waves become so high, when it seems that their little ship shall sink in the ocean, and that it shall never arrive at that shore, then many a soul, under those circumstances, If they only had the assurance, the washing away of all their sins, then they think they could simply trust. But oh, what precious instruction in the life of Joseph. And I read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 that the Lord is faithful and that he shall not suffer that church to be tempted, that they are able to bear. Oh, it is true. Oftentimes in those deep ways, then they are given to pour out their heart and tell the Lord that it is becoming too much. But oh, even in the deepest circumstances, the Lord shall never forsake his child, because he has engraven them upon the palm of his hand. Then in the life of Joseph, oh, for a people that of riddles and perplexities, what an instruction. Further, in the history of Joseph, what beautiful types, what clear types we have, and what precious lines we can draw. When we think of Joseph, first humbled, but then I read in Genesis 41 verse 45 that Joseph has received that precious name, Zephani Peninnah, and that name means, oh, in the Hebrew language, then a revealer of secrets. What a precious name for souls that have riddles. In Egypt, the Savior of the world. When we consider those brothers, oh, what beautiful lines we can draw from their experience. How clear the experience of a true child of God we find in those brothers. May it please the Lord that there may be many of those brothers, true men, church-going people, when it is possible never to leave their place empty, even on a weekday service, but now to be further and further uncovered, and to come to that place before Joseph, that we are very guilty, nothing to say. Then in the first place, Joseph's father, and boys and girls, you know who that was. That was Jacob, the son of Isaac. In chapter 36, quite a long chapter, there we read of the descendants of Esau. Because this chapter begins with "and," thus that follows Genesis 36, that speaks of the descendants of Esau, who was sold his birthright, and who has departed from the land of Canaan, the promised land. And then we read in that chapter in verse 15 of many dukes. In verse 31 of many kings. And in verse 43, the land of their possession. In that chapter we read that in Esau, in an outward way, and his descendants, that they have been blessed, and they have received that land as a possession. And now concerning the church, in those chapters that follow the descendants of Esau, And then we find a church with riddles and with trials. Do we not hear Father Jacob say in Genesis 42 verse 36, that a Joseph is no more, a Simeon is not, and thou wilt take a Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And yet, there came a time in the life of Jacob, has Christ not said in John 13, verse 7, what thou doest now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Then there has come a time that in Jacob was given to adore and given to thank the Lord for those ways of trials and of impossibilities. Oh, it is true. There are those times, as I read in Psalm 73 of an Asaph, when he was given to look at the world, then it seemed that everything went so smoothly, that they had no troubles to see, where it seems that there were troubles every morning, until he went into the sanctuary and he became a beast before the Lord, and then given to adore that God that is too good to be unkind for his people and too wise to err. Blessed that people who by moments may be given to believe it and given to embrace it. Then we hear already, congregation, the most important point, and that is to be converted by the Lord, unto the Lord, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because for that people, Romans 8 verse 28, all things shall work together for good to them that love the Lord. Do you love the Lord, congregation? That is the question. Oh, we hope to hear of a Joseph that he loved the Lord greatly. Do you love the Lord, his word, his day, his people, his house, everything that is connected with the Lord? The Lord has a people upon the earth, notwithstanding their sins, notwithstanding their questions, that may say before an all-knowing God with a Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, for an Esau, after Genesis 26, we do not read so much of him except when he came into contact with that chosen people, and as an enemy of the Lord, as an enemy of his church. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. We read in Hebrews 11 verse 9, concerning Abram, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and in verse 16, to desire a better country. Oh, Father Jacob, in opposition to the last verse of chapter 36, where we read, a land of their possession, thy Jacob. Oh, we had a promise. The promise that was given concerning that land of Canaan. Concerning his seed. Oh, maybe a soul says, oh, if I only had a personal promise, then I could live much easier. Because then I would live upon that promise. Because the Lord, he always fulfills his promise for his people. But now for a Jacob, his father was a stranger. He did not have much possession in that land. In Genesis 23, with the death of Sarah, Genesis 23, a whole chapter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning the burial of Sarah, then we read that in Abram, that he has purchased a burial place for his wife, for himself, and for his seed. Also in Genesis 33, the verses 18 through 20, then we read that Jacob, that he has purchased for a certain amount of money, Shalem, which was near Shechem. And we read that upon that purchased ground, that he has erected a tent. And what else do you think? A tent and an altar, a home and an altar where he could worship the Lord. Thus Jacob, a stranger in a land that is called many times a flowing with milk and honey. What is now a stranger? What is now a stranger in a land? That is one that it is not his home country. Such a stranger many times speaks another language, tries to learn the language of that country, but a native language many times is close. A stranger in the land does not put his pins down so deep because it is only for a time. Maybe he is traveling through that land to another land where he hopes to have a better possession. And that is what Jacob is called in our text words. We read of Peter in his first epistle that he is written to strangers that are scattered abroad. John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, then he is written of Christian and faithful, and not that they had a desire, but John Bunyan has written that the church, not of this world, but they are called to go through this world. And then the pathway of those two pilgrims that went through Vanity Fair. And then he lists a few characteristics that people in Vanity Fair were given to see. That those two men, they were pilgrims indeed. When that is not evident in the church, that tells us that the church has come in a very low estate, because the church is called to be a shining and a burning light. And now concerning those two pilgrims, then John Bunyan has written of three special things whereby it was evident to that people that were partaking and busy in Vanity Fair, may we and our children be kept from all the vain things of the world. Then John Bunyan has written that in the first place, that they spoke a different language, and that was the language of Canaan. And I think many of our boys and girls even know what that language is. That is the language of the experience of those pilgrims who have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit and are given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Then in the second place, then that people in Vanity Fair, they were given to recognize those pilgrims by the clothing they wore. I hope that that may be so with us and our children in the midst of this dark and solemn time, that it can be seen that we and our children have been baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Then in the third place, then John Bunyan has written that Vanity Fair recognized that those two men, they did not feel at home in Vanity Fair. They had to go through that fair to come to that celestial city. There was not a road around. Otherwise, they would have made a detour. And they were recognized by what they have bought, because they have not purchased the vain things that all those fairgoers have purchased. And now, because they were pilgrims and strangers, then we read that the enmity of that people in Vanity Fair, that has risen and even become greater, that there were a few, oh, not so many, but what a blessing that is, when the church may be a walking Bible, if I may say it so, and that the world may see it, that is a people that have a God that is worthy to be served. Because then John Bunyan has written that there were a few that have agreed, that have become followers of Christian and faithful, and to that end, they were brought before the judge, and Faithful was put to death. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Have you also become a stranger, congregation? Have you become a stranger and a pilgrim? All one that is many times very sad, that feels lonely, one that is not understood by the world, can be in the church, can be in the family circle, because many times when we become a pilgrim, oh, then even in the family they think, but it does not have to be so strict. We live in 2022, because for those strangers, do you know what a true mark is of those true strangers? Oh, that sin becomes sin. They are given to weep because of their own heart, but they also become very sorrowful. Oh, do we not read in Psalm 119, 136, rivers of water run down my eye because they keep not my law? Have we become a pilgrim? Have we become a seeker of a better country? Oh, when all the busyness of life, do we many times have a deep impression that it is only for a time? No, not to despise the good things that the Lord grants unto us and our children, but that we have no continuing city, and there is but a step between us and death. All Christ has said, in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto it. Jacob, a stranger, they were given to seek a better country. Oh, that is the heavens, where the eternal dwelling place shall be of the true people of God. These are the generations of Jacob. We read in verse 2. We would think, because the following chapters, they speak also of Jacob, but especially of Joseph, then we would think that in the second verse that we would read, these are the generations of Joseph, but no, the generations of Jacob. And the reason is because also concerning the history of Joseph, then it goes concerning the fulfillment of the counsel of God, that out of the seed of Jacob, oh, some weeks ago, we have heard it from Leah, when a Judah was born, that she was given to praise the Lord, that out of Judah, that the promised Messiah would come, would be further declared on the deathbed of Father Jacob. And to that end, these are the generations of Jacob. And now in this chapter concerning Jacob, then we must realize that he was already quite old. Of course, in the book of Genesis concerning the patriarchs, then people became older than they do now. Moses in Psalm 90, 80 years and 10 are the days, not the years, but the days. And if by reason of strength 80 years has been fulfilled on Tuesday, when we have buried Father Van Harten, he reached the age of 80 years. But in the life of the patriarchs, then they have become older. Abraham has become 175 years old. Isaac, 180 years. And Jacob would reach the age of 147 years. Then in the beginning, in this chapter, when Joseph is 17 years old, then Jacob, Father Jacob, as a stranger, is 108 years. Where is that written? Then we must come back. Because I read, when Jacob, with his family, has went down into Egypt, and he stood before Pharaoh and said that few and evil have his days been, then he was 130 years. And now concerning the length of time that Joseph has been in Egypt, before it was declared that Joseph was alive, That was approximately 22 years because of a Joseph we shall read. We have heard it out of our text in our chapter. A 17 years old. And when he was taken out of prison and became the second ruler in Egypt, then he was 30 years. Thus, that is 13 years. And then Pharaoh had the dreams of the seven rich years and the seven lean years. Thus, if we add 13 plus the seven lean years and first 1 year of want, because undoubtedly, then Jacob has sent his sons in the second year of those lean years, then we have 22 years. Thus, that means that in our chapter, that father Jacob is 108 years old. That means when Joseph was born, that he was 91 years old. And that further implies and means, because we read in Genesis 31 that Jacob, that he has served 7 years, 14 years for Rachel, because of Jacob has not served 1 hour for Leah. And after he received Leah and Rachel, then in 7 years, children were born. And then after 14 years, then Jacob has said to Laban with a desire to part, nevertheless, still serve 6 years for wages. So that means congregation. When Jacob, when he received his father's blessing, and when he departed from the promised land, that he was not so young a man, but that he was 77 years old. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. That is our second thought, Joseph's brothers. Let us first sing. Psalter 393, the three stanzas. O happy land whose sons in youth, in sturdy strength and noble truth, alike plants in vigor spring, whose daughters fair, a queenly race, are like the cornerstones that grace, and what follows. 393, let us sing 1 and 2 only.
Thank you.
Joseph being 17 years old, Joseph's father, and now secondly, Joseph's brothers. Jacob has served Laban for 7 years, and then he is married, 84 years old. We have heard in December when we spoke from Genesis 29, the verses 32 through 35, that Leah was blessed with 4 boys. And I think our children, they can tell me who they are. Reuben, behold a son. A Simeon means to be heard. Levi means to be joined. And Judah, that means to praise. We can understand that in the household of Jacob, there was much trouble because Jacob had 2 wives, Leah and Rachel. And we never read in the Bible that upon those matters, more than one wife, because in Genesis 2, the institution of marriage, one woman for one man. And when it has been different, even in the life of the saints, what a trouble and what a division. Then we may also say, in a household, when there is a serving of 2 masters, and Christ in the Sermon on the Mount has said that we cannot serve God and mammon, when in a household and in a home, that there is a serving of the world and of God, usually much of the world and a little of God, then the Lord sends many troubles also in the family circle to that end. How necessary that husbands and wives, that they are one concerning the truth, and that God's word has absolute authority. Thus saith the Lord, that is the end of all gainsaying. Because I read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me, I will honor. But those that despise me, they shall be lightly esteemed. And now, in the family of Father Jacob, then Leah was very fruitful, 4 sons, and Rachel, the wife whom Jacob loved and had worked for 14 years. She was barren. And we have read it together that Rachel has spoken very unadvisably with her lips, that she has said to her husband, give me children, else I die. And that Jacob even became angry at such a language. How necessary that we continually pray every morning. Psalm 141 verse 3, set a watch before my lips and keep the doors of my mouth, because Rachel has spoken those words. And later, with the birth of Benjamin, it was the cause of her death. But such a vehement desire was also in the Old Testament, those that feared the Lord. They had a desire that a godly seed may be born, and even to be the mother of the Messiah. I hope that is also so in many of our family circles, that the prayers, that they are multiplied not only in married life to receive children, but that they may be children afore the Lord. And now Rachel, as she was given to deny herself, and then she is given that handmaid Bilhah, and then Bilhah has borne Dan, Rachel has acknowledged God, and then a second son, Naphtali. Then Leah, when she saw that she was not bearing children, then she is given her handmaid Zilpah, and then Zilpah has received Gad and Asher, and with those birth announcements, then God is not mentioned, of course, for Leah. It was different when she has bore those children herself, but nevertheless, God not mentioned. And then she says, happy am I, but there was no praising of the Lord. Then we read further, we have heard it, in the verses 17 through 20. Then Leah has borne two more sons. God was acknowledged, Issachar and Zebulun. And then in verse 22, then we read that God has remembered Rachel. Oh, how a Rachel must have begged the Lord that she may also receive a child. And then we read that she has received Joseph. God was acknowledged. God hath taken away my reproach. And then she is called him Joseph. And then she was given to declare, the Lord shall add another son. And then when a Joseph was born, that was after serving Laban for 14 years. Thus that means congregation, that with all those sons that were born, that they were born, some of them at the same time, because they were born in those 7 years that Jacob was married. And now, Father Jacob has requested that he would be sent away. But then he was still given to labor for 6 more years for Laban, that his flocks may be increased. And then he has departed, and then he has experienced wonderful things. When he was 77 years, then he has experienced Bethel. And 20 years later, because when Joseph was born, 91 years. And when we add 6 years, 97 years. Then a Jacob was given to experience Peniel. Then he has become an Israel. Then he was given to see God face to face. And now in Genesis 35, Benjamin was born. Rachel has died. And in our text words, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the son of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Thus that shows us that those sons of Joseph, that they were not idle, but that they were working. In the Jewish writings it is written, the duty of a father concerning his son, three things. In the first place, to be circumcised, to receive the seal of the covenant. In the second place, to be instructed in the law of the Lord. And in the third place, to be instructed in a trade. Of course, the girls also needed to be instructed. And so we read that those sons of Jacob, that they were not idle. It is a great sin to be idle. Do we not have many texts that we are called to be diligent? In Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the end, thou sluggard. In Proverbs 13, verse 4, the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. In Proverbs 30, the verses 24 through 28, we read of little animals. Maybe the children can remember that in 2020, with the opening of the school, I have spoken about wonderful things concerning the ant, that they prepare their meat in the summer. Then we have the locust, the spider. Then for an idle person, then they shall not receive that fulfillment, that reward upon their labors. An idle person shall not be a praying person. Further, an idle person, then he shall be a burden to himself and a burden to many others. Then further, an idle person is not profitable for himself, for his neighbor, for the church, and for God. Thus, we are called to be diligent. Wherever we are called to be, at work, children, at school, mothers at home, what a blessing it is when the Lord grants health and strength. He grants labors to do that we may still have a place. Concerning idleness for us and our children, then we may be commended that we are a diligent people, young and old. Our community even knows it. But what is now perhaps the danger for us and our children, oh, the world? They are busy to work so they can play. And then we may commend when our families not organize sports, not watch those sports game or listen to them, that we are a separate people. But have we now become such hard and diligent workers, seeking to prosper in the world, and that we are no longer strangers, and that we forget about our soul? Something to think about, congregation. That we have become so busy and so diligent that we do not have time, so much time, concerning the eternal welfare of our soul. Joseph's brothers, they have received a task. They were shepherds. We can read in different autobiographies of young men that they have written when they have seen a girl who they desired to ask, to court, to become their future wife, that they have written when they went to that father, that father, together with mother, has asked very pointed questions. Of course, in the first place, concerning church going, worship and keeping the Lord's Day. But then it was also asked whether that young man could earn a living, because that father did not have a desire that his wife had to be clothed in rags. It's all instruction concerning our labors. The brothers of Joseph, they were shepherds. Then I have read further that another question of that father would be to that young man, do you ever go to a bar? Because that father would not have a desire that his daughter would receive a husband. And when that husband after work, instead of coming home to his dear wife and children, that he would spend time with his co-workers, drinking. Concerning our time, then it would be added that such a father, that young men who were looking for one whom you may travel through this time, then if such a father would have lived in this time, then such a father would have asked that young man, have you ever watched porn? Because that father would not have a desire that his daughter, when she would be married to that young man, when he would receive the desire of his eyes, that all those other images and pictures, that they would flash in front of his eyes. Practical instruction that is so necessary also in our days. Oh, how necessary that we are much on our knees, that the Lord keep us from temptation. Oh, concerning that father, if he lived in our day, then I think it would have been written that maybe he would have asked, but my son, how is it now with your phone? Is it filter? And do you have accountability? Some things to think about, young and old. Oh, in a time of so many temptations, may the Lord remember us. May the Lord remember our young people. But now concerning feeding the flock with his brethren. And then we read that he was with the sons of those two handmaids, Bilhah and Zilpah. And now it is understandable in that family, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah, that there was much confusion in that family. What a blessing it is when we may dwell with love with one another. May love abound in our families. So necessary that God's word has a large place, and that we may be a separated people. But now we read, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. We have to stop. There's a time for everything. A question that we can take home. Oh, there's much to think about and much to talk about. Also, young people, with your young sons and your young daughters. But also now a question. Was it now right for Joseph, when he came home from the field back to his father, that he told on his brothers? What do you think? Something to think about. May it please the Lord to remember us and our children, and also concerning the history of Joseph. Oh, when the Lord grants it, then we hope to hear wonderful things. Oh, I hope there may be many a soul that may be converted, and many a soul that may be instructed concerning the wonderful leadings of the Lord in the way of providence and in the way of grace, that it may be experienced that Joseph is still alive and that he is governor over all the land of Egypt. How shall that be experienced, congregation? That Joseph is alive. Oh, when it pleases the Lord to convert boys and girls, when it becomes manifest that there are many that are given to bow the knee so willingly, that they cannot bow low enough. Oh, it shall be experienced that Joseph is still alive, when guilty brothers that have sinned away everything, ruined everything, when they may come to a saving knowledge of Joseph and to receive a kiss. Oh, it shall be experienced amongst us and our children, when there may be many more dependent life, trusting in the Lord with empty sacks, and then to go to those storehouses of Joseph and to receive such a rich supply. May the Lord grant those wonderful things amongst us and our dear children. And the Lord's name shall be glorified. Amen. Let us close. Lord, thou hast granted a few words that we may make a little beginning with the history of Joseph. Oh, how privileged we are, Jacob and his family, on the Sabbath day, no church to enter. They had no Bible, no Psalter, no catechism books. May we be given to count our blessings, and may it be blessed by thee. Lord, it is so necessary, so indispensable, that we and our children, as a poor, hell-worthy, unworthy sinner, are brought to a saving knowledge of the greater Joseph. And that greater Joseph, he is still gathering his church by word and by spirit. Lord, wilt thou graciously watch over us when we return to our dwellings? Watch over us in the remainder of the week. Wilt thou keep from harm, from danger, from accidents? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 322, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth. 322. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? And what follows? 322, 1, 2, and 4. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.